Well, as you may have noticed, I'm not Curtis. Curtis is apparently under the weather today, and with him being under the weather, he asked me to fill in. So, here I am. We are looking today at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 8 through 19. And we're continuing a series that Curtis started last week called The Angel of the Lord. In this case, we're looking at the shepherds today. And I always find this a fascinating story because in many ways, even though I've heard this account for years and grown up with this account, and it's part of the nativity account you read every Christmas Eve service, if you stop and think about the account, it's very unexpected. It's not what you would expect in all of even the announcement of a Messiah, that you would have this announcement proclaimed to the shepherds. And so what we're going to look at today is considering this announcement given. And we're going to look at it from an understanding of the fact that this was announced by the angel of the Lord, and the importance of the angel making that announcement, and also from the perspective of the shepherds, and why it is significant that Luke included this story for us to understand about the birth of Christ, because it wasn't an accident that the shepherds were included here to help us see who Christ is and the significance of Christ and his birth. Ultimately, we'll see a reflection of the gospel here. We'll see the gospel in the hope that is announced, and we'll see the gospel in the very activity of the shepherds. So let us begin by reading chapter 2, and we'll go verses 8 through 14. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." As we see the birth of Christ occur, we've seen last week, looking at Zechariah, that there is a pivotal marker that happens in all of these stories, and that is that an angel appears, and not just any angel, but an angel of the Lord. Now, that's a very specific title that is being used here, and it's being used to help us understand the significance of what's being done. This is not simply a minor announcement. This is not simply something that we can kind of listen to and then we can be like, okay, and we go on about our day. This is telling us we need to stop and pay attention because an angel of the Lord is speaking. Now, the angel here is not specifically named. Most likely it is Gabriel. But he is, in fact, giving a message to the shepherds. And there's a few things I think we can see about the message that he gives and the presentation of this appearance that is important. The first thing is that he confirms God's redemptive plan of salvation. Because the angel here is so important, he is telling us that this is a pivotal moment in human history. And so he is there to make sure that everything that occurs with Christ's birth happens exactly as God intends for it to occur. Nothing is going to take God by surprise because the angel is there, sent by God, to make sure that the Messiah's birth goes exactly as planned, and that the people who need to know are notified. And so the angel shows up at key points. We saw him last week in Zechariah. This week we see him showing up with the shepherds. He also shows up to Mary and talks to Mary. And in a sense, the angel is there with the Magi through the star that they follow. So he provides a very significant element to understanding the birth of Christ. Now you notice something important about the angel that showed up. Notice how he came. In verse 8 and in verse 9 it says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them." This wasn't just an angel that showed up, but he had the glory of the Lord with him. This is the Lord's glory of the what's called the Shekinah glory. It shows up several times in the Old Testament. We see it appear from time to time. Isaiah saw it. Ezekiel saw it. Daniel saw it. And this is a glory that is something we generally can't fathom. So what the shepherds saw was not just an angel appear to them, but they saw the glory of the Lord in his full majesty. And they reacted exactly as you would expect, with fear. But that glory is there to tell us that God is beginning his redemptive plan for his people through the sending of his Son. We also see that the angel announces a message of hope for his people. He tells the shepherds in verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." He tells them that the message he's giving is not one that should cause them to fear, but it's a message of hope. Because the Messiah that they have waited for centuries, that they have looked and said, "When is he coming?" has finally arrived. Now, not in the way that they expected, but he has shown up. And so they should be excited, and they should be joyous, because redemption is coming. The redemption found in Christ. And so he's telling the people they need to rejoice. But he goes further and clarifies this. Remember, these shepherds are outside of Bethlehem. And so he reminds them, "For unto you this day," this is verse 11, "For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And so he's telling them, this Messiah that you've looked for, the Messiah who comes out of the line of David, the Messiah that you have hoped for and waited, he is now here and he is born in the city of Bethlehem, just as the prophets predicted. You also see in the angel's message to the people, the message to these shepherds is that it is marked by the presence of a sign. Now this is important. It's important because the angel wants the people to know, the shepherds, they need to understand that they can find this Messiah. They don't have to simply search all of Bethlehem, try to figure out where he is. They simply have to look for the sign that was given. And we see this sign in verse 12. "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." So this is how the shepherds know how to find the Messiah. But it also tells them that this is a message of divine intervention. Because they know from their years of growing up with the scriptures that important events in God's redemptive plan come with a sign. Noah received a sign with the covenant, the sign of the rainbow. Abraham received a sign of circumcision for the blessings of the covenant he received. Even Gideon asked for a sign to know that the people, that what he was being told was true and was from the Lord. Samson's parents received a sign about his son being born. And even King Ahaz received a sign from Isaiah where the Lord told him that the Messiah would be born through the virgin birth. So this sign is very important coming from the angel. The angel is telling the people, the shepherds need to know where to find the Messiah, but they need to know that this is coming from God himself. Because the first thing I would do when an angel talked to me is I'd be very scared, exactly as they were. And I need the reassurance to know I'm not about to lose my life, because that's what I would expect to happen in the presence of an angel. And so they are reassured that this is the continuation of God's plan, and that we have a message of hope coming, and that this long-awaited Messiah is coming. Now, we'll look at this in a little bit, but they're also beginning to be told and realize that their job's coming to an end. And that is a great thing. Now, the last thing we see about this angel, and the last thing we see about the message that he gives, is that it's accompanied by the rejoicing of God's angelic host. Because the last thing that the Lord wants the people, the shepherds here, to know is that this is a great and blessed event. And it's an amazing event that has happened. The Messiah has been born. Can you imagine? After all the years of waiting and wondering and hoping, when is the Messiah coming? When will he be here? Is he going to come and save us and deliver us? And now they get the message that yes, he is here and he is coming. And so the angels come to say how absolutely important this is. In verse 13 it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." The Messiah is coming, and the Messiah is here, and the Messiah has brought peace to his people. They no longer have to live with the question of will the Messiah come. They now can look at what is the mission of the Messiah. And so we see with the angel here that he signifies for the shepherds the importance of Christ's birth. That is the emphasis here, I think you see, of the angel being in the story. Because he tells the people, the shepherds are waiting out here, they have no idea this is coming. He shows up and he says, the Messiah is here. And you can trust me because I'll give you a sign and I'll tell you it's a message of hope. And you need to go find him. Now a question comes up. Why did he pick the shepherds? That's a good question. I think there's two things we can see in why he picked the shepherds. And I think that this reason of picking the shepherds drives us home to the gospel itself and carries with it the theme of redemption that is built all throughout the Old Testament. That God is going to redeem us from our sins through the Messiah that is coming. First, I think he appears to the shepherds because God works his purposes not according to human ways. Now, I know we sometimes pay lip service to this, but the reality is, if a king was coming, and if a king was as important as the Messiah is going to be, and if the king was going to do what the Bible says the Messiah is going to do, you would expect the king to show up with majesty and fanfare. And you'd expect the king to go to other kings and let them know that he's there and that he's now reigning. You would not expect the Messiah to show up of some small birth and appear to shepherds who don't have significance. And yet, this is exactly the way that God operates all throughout human history. He picks the people who are the lowly of people, the humble people, the people of no repute, and he works through them. Consider the words of Paul. Paul reminds us about the gospel when he says in 1 Corinthians, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart.'" God's ways are not like our ways. God appears to people such as shepherds, to people such as us, not to the people who you would expect, but the people to whom he chooses to give his salvation. But there's a second reason for the shepherds, and I think this is the key thing that I want to kind of spend the rest of the time focusing on. The shepherds, the shepherds were guarding special sheep. They were guarding paschal sheep. You see, most shepherds of the time, if they were taking care of their sheep, would have been out in the wilderness, far away from all the towns. In the Mishnah, which is a Jewish set of writings, oral traditions, very similar to and part of the traditions of the men and elders that Jesus references later in his life. These were oral traditions that were handed down, and around 200 AD or so, some rabbis started writing them down so we'd actually know what they were, and they wouldn't get lost. And in those traditions, they make it very clear that shepherds were not to be near the cities. They were supposed to be out in the wilderness. They were supposed to be far away, where they could have enough pasture land, and the sheep and the animals wouldn't be around the people in the cities. But there was one exception, and that was the sheep that were kept and reserved for the temple sacrifices. Those sheep could stay around the cities. And so these shepherds would have been most likely near Passover, and they would have been around Bethlehem preparing the sheep for the sacrifice that would come at the temple. That was the flock that they maintained. The very sheep that represented Christ's work on the cross. So these shepherds would have understood that they had a weightier job than even the normal shepherds that are out in the wilderness. And so the Lord appearing to them is no accident, because he's appearing to the shepherds who reflect in the work that they do the preparation that is done for the sacrifice of the Lamb. At Passover, the shepherds gathered their flocks near Bethlehem, and it was the duty of these shepherds to authenticate the sacrificial lambs. They would have looked through the sheep and made sure that they had the lamb that was pure and unblemished, that they had the sheep who was just the right sheep to take up for the Passover sacrifice that was done every single year, and that was looking forward to the sacrifice that Christ gave. So when the angel appears to the shepherds, he's not just appearing to those who may be of a more humble estate, but he's appearing to shepherds that are guarding the sheep that symbolize the work that he is going to do in his adult life. The work that he has come for, the very mission of Christ, to die on the cross and to save us from our sins. So these shepherds are important shepherds because of the work that they do. They would have also been more receptive to the gospel message that was presented here by the angel, because they would have understood the importance of the sacred duty of taking care of the sheep that were being used for the sacrifices, of having to look through and authenticate each sheep that goes to the temple to be sacrificed. Essentially, what the angel told them, without them fully realizing it, is that their job was almost over. Because the Messiah had finally arrived and salvation was coming. And that salvation was through Christ's work, which was a once-for-all sacrifice. And no longer would the shepherds be needed to maintain the flocks for the temple, because Christ's sacrifice fulfilled the work that they did. As we consider the angel of the Lord and his appearance to the shepherds, it's interesting to note that in the Old Testament we have a story in the Old Testament that reflects very much a shepherd's sacrifice. And interestingly, when you look at this story, it was also handled by the angel of the Lord. And so we see that this messenger not only is here with the shepherds, but throughout the Old Testament has been guiding and directing the events to point to the Messiah. Now, this story is found in Genesis 22, and it's the story of Abraham and his son. And it'll start in verse 9. And as we read this story, consider what it says about the angel of the Lord. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The angel of the Lord and another shepherd, Abraham. Abraham asked to do the unthinkable, to sacrifice his son upon the altar. And yet the angel of the Lord intervenes and says, Do not sacrifice your son, I will give you a substitute. What Abraham was asked to do, God did. He sacrificed his son. God sacrificed his son on the cross as a substitute for us, because we could not make that sacrifice. God was perfect. Christ had no sin, so he could be the perfect, unblemished Lamb of God. And so he took his place for us. God sacrificed his very son on the cross for our sins, for the things that we've done wrong. Each and every one of the things that we've done wrong, Jesus took upon himself on the cross. And so our salvation comes because God has said, My wrath is no longer upon you because I put it on my son. And he has borne your sins. Do we consider the truth of the gospel today? That the Lord has paid for our sins. Yes, we look at the birth of Christ, but we look at the birth of Christ because of the anticipation of the death of Christ, because of the anticipation of his resurrection, because of the salvation that he provides as a savior of his people. We should consider this today. Look back with me at Luke chapter 2, as we see the shepherd's response to the angel. The shepherd first started out with fear because the angel appeared and they were terrified. But it quickly turned to faith and then to obedience. Verses 15 through 19 explain how the shepherds responded to this message that they received. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And they saw it. They made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondering them in her heart. The shepherds responded through faith with obedience. And their response showed the joy that they had because they didn't keep it contained. The shepherds proclaimed the gospel to everyone they met. They had just heard the best news in the world. The Savior is finally here. And they had it confirmed when they found the Savior and they got to see him. This is Jesus that Hebrews tells us is the one who holds the world in his hands. That nothing happens except through the word of Christ. And so the shepherds confirmed Jesus as the Lamb of God. The very activity that they were engaged in, keeping the sheep for the Passover sacrifice, they now were able to see the fulfillment, the beginning of the fulfillment for the work that they did. And what a great blessing and a great joy that must have been for them. But what about us? We also bear witness to the gospel. Even though we haven't been able to see all these great and miraculous events, we have them written down in Scripture for us. And so we can share the gospel with those around us. We can tell them about the glorious truth that the Messiah has come, that the world has hope. Hope in a Savior who can redeem us from our sin, who can redeem us from the power of Satan and the minions of darkness, and who can transform us into his nature with his power. Ultimately, we see that Christ is our great shepherd, having fulfilled the mission of the Bethlehem shepherds by providing a once-for-all sacrifice for his people. Jesus is the Messiah. And as we go through this season, considering the birth of Christ, let us reflect on the significance of that birth. The significance that the Messiah has come and saved us from our sins. That the Messiah is himself our great shepherd, watching over us, taking care of us, providing for his people, I will end with the end of Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. And consider these words in the reflection of the great shepherd of Christ. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Are we spreading the great news of the Messiah? Are we telling the joy to our family, our friends, and to those around us that a Savior has been born, a Savior has died, and a Savior now lives again, ruling and reigning over the world? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for allowing us to be able to see in a new light the story of your birth, the story where you appeared to the shepherds to give them the message of hope, the message for your people that salvation has come. Lord, I ask that we would take these things within our hearts and we would cherish them, and that we would not keep them contained, but that we would tell those around us about the great joy that comes from your birth, from your death, and from your resurrection. That you are now alive and reigning over all creation. That we no longer have to fear death, and sin no longer has a stranglehold over us because of the great and glorious work that you have done. And we now look forward to your coming again, so that all things are made right and we can finally live not by faith, but by sight. Lord, we honor you and praise you, and we glorify you for the majestic work that you did in sending your Son, not in a way we would expect, but in a way that works exactly as you planned it, for your glory and for your kingdom. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.